Hare Krishna. So today is a very auspicious day in our Vaishnav calendar. It is the disappearance day of Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who was the main guru of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he's celebrated for indicating the place where Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Mayapur Dham. For many years, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj resided in Vrindavan at Suryakund. And he was absorbed in chanting the holy names of Krishna and remembering the divine pastimes of Krishna. And students came, means seekers came to become his students. And he generally told them that they should work in the garden and grow vegetables, other items for the Lord. But they were thinking that they wanted to do bhajan like Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And he was telling them to work in the fields. So they complained to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur when he was in Vrindavan. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that what your Guru Maharaj is instructing you is correct, because you are not on the level where you can be absorbed in Harinam and Astakalya Lila Smaranam. So you purify yourself by following his instructions and doing service. Although I never made the connection before, as I was speaking, I thought of a similar statement that Srila Prabhupada made, but in a different context and a different mood, perhaps. But Srila Prabhupada had a very staunch devotee in Bombay, Sri P. L. Sethi. Actually, a couple of years ago, his son came to visit, and he spoke here in the temple about his father's relationship with Srila Prabhupada and his father's service to Srila Prabhupada. But he had some ideas of how the devotees could, make money and expand the project. And Srila Prabhupada told him that these are excellent ideas. But if I tell my disciples to execute them, they will think, we have come to Swamiji for bhajan, and he's asking us to do the same things that we used to do, or that ordinary people do. And Srila Prabhupada told the story of a child who didn't like arithmetic. And the teacher was always thinking how to induce the boy to learn arithmetic. So, finally, the teacher had the idea to draw a picture of the two cows on the board, and then another, then like added a picture of a goat, and said, first, how many cows are there? Two. Then when he added the third animal, how many animals are there? Three. Like, and then if the farmer sells, you know. So like this, he was teaching the boy arithmetic. And then the boy's friend next to him said, don't you see what's happening? The teacher's teaching you arithmetic. He said, oh, arithmetic? I hate arithmetic. So sometimes we have to, people have like a causeless aversion to serving Krishna or whatever. And so we have to find the ways to engage them. But then there was another boy who was he was progressing in arithmetic, and he eventually came to algebra. So he came home. He was doing exercises like A plus B equals C. And his mother saw, like, he's a grown up and so advanced in his studies, and he's still just doing ABCs. So Srila Prabhupada said that the mother didn't understand that there's a gulf of difference between this ABC and that ABC. The ABC of A plus B equals C, the ABC of algebra, and the ABC of learning the alphabet. So he was criticizing us or pointing out a defect in us. That we think that, oh, we have come to Swamiji for bhajan, and now he's asking us to do the same old things. But they're not realizing there's a gulf of difference between doing it for Krishna and doing it for sense gratification. But anyway, that was, yeah, so Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, he had his disciples who didn't like his instruction that they should work in the garden. So after some time, Babaji Maharaj felt an inner dictation that he should go to Navadvip, and for the last many years of his life, he made his base in Navadvip. He lived to be a very old man, something like 140 years old, but I'm not sure about but there is an exact figure. They know about his date of birth. And he was very austere, very renounced, and one day someone gave him a donation. He wasn't interested in collecting donations, but when he got the donation, he told his servant, Bihari, that he should go out and spend all the money on rasgullas. And this was a shock, because but Bihari followed the order, he brought back the rasgullas, and then he said, call all the dogs of Navadvip Dham, and I will feed them rasgullas. And this was his, high estimation of the residents of the Dham, that even the dogs of the Dham were worshipable and worthy of being served. But he also said, but no Mayavadis. The dogs can come and eat nicely, but no Mayavadis. So his disciple was Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur undertook the project to determine the exact location of the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he studied maps, he consulted different local people, and eventually he found that a mound of earth where tulsi plants were growing profusely and luxuriantly. And he felt that this is the birthplace. But he wanted it to be confirmed by Jagannath Das Babaji. So Babaji Maharaj was so old, he couldn't even really walk. So his disciples carried him there. And they didn't tell him anything. But when he got there, by his purified spiritual senses, he immediately jumped. They carried him in a basket. He immediately jumped out of the basket and began to dance in ecstasy. Because he could understand this was the place of Mahaprabhu's advent. So his samadhi is there in Navadvip, of course a very sacred place, and his line of followers is maintaining the service, and devotees who go on Navadvip Parikrama, they visit his samadhi there. So it was on Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj's disappearance day that Srila Prabhupada's illustrious disciple, Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami, left his body. Of course, volumes could be said about his life of service to Srila Prabhupada. Um, he first met Srila Prabhupada at the Morning Star Ranch. Generally, devotees understand the Morning Star Ranch to be like a nudist colony, but that was just a small aspect of it. And I might add that one evening Madhavisa Prabhu explained in detail, because he was also at the Morning Star Ranch, many of the early devotees in the West Coast were actually at the Morning Star Ranch, which was founded by Lou Gottlieb. Madhavisa Prabhu, and I really hope that he can get out all of his remembrances and insights, because they're invaluable. And I was actually tempted to record what he was saying, but I was, because it was like so sort of personal and confidential, I thought it might just inhibit him from speaking freely. But anyway, it was a whole philosophy that was developing in the San Francisco area, especially, sort of turn on, tune in, and drop out. And there was a whole effort to sort of weaken the materialistic establishment by dropping out of their economic system. So Lou Gottlieb founded the Morning Star Ranch, and anyone could come and stay there. They didn't have to pay anything. They were not required to do anything. But he also had, land. They could have their gardens and grow vegetables and fruits and whatever. And, different residents would do that. And they didn't wear clothes. That was also part of it. So one of the residents of the Morning Star Ranch was Thomas Herzig, later Tamal Krishna Goswami. And Madhavisa Prabhu said that he, I believe, had a tree house. And he wasn't the type. There were many of them. They were really into farming and cultivating and growing food. But he wasn't into that. He just wanted to be in his tree house and read sacred texts, the Bible and other sacred texts. And somehow, Lou got the idea to invite Srila Prabhupada. And he personally went to San Francisco and drove him out, because it was out in the country. And Srila Prabhupada came. You can imagine the contrast between, Srila Prabhupada's cultured, refined life in Calcutta and Allahabad and Bombay and this. But this was his mission. This was his spiritual master's order. And he placed no conditions that I will do this and I won't do that. He was ready to do anything and everything that was that could be favorable for his mission, for his Guru Maharaj's mission. And so the people came, and then I think, there was a lot of interest. They were already looking for an alternative way of life, and they're already like quite renounced. And so maybe a week later, Gurudas Prabhu came and with books, with pictures, gave them pictures of Krishna, taught them how to offer their food, and so many of them became devotees, initiated disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And from then up till the end, or near the end, I mean, Tamal Krishna Goswami was involved in, at one point Srila Prabhupada called him his right-hand man. He was involved in spreading Krishna consciousness in San Francisco, then Los Angeles, and then when Srila Prabhupada decided to return to India, well, yeah, he made, I hope you know this history, it's recorded in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. There are other books. Everyone should read Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita to begin. So yes, Srila Prabhupada formed a governing body commission with 12 members and assigned a zone to each of them, and Tamal Krishna Goswami was assigned India. But as he often said, he was not actually the GBC for India. Srila Prabhupada was the GBC for India. And he was just following Prabhupada's directions. And then, after spending some time in India, he returned to America and began the Radha Damodar Party, which was very successful in distributing books and in making devotees. Huge numbers of devotees. Both huge numbers of books and huge numbers of devotees. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada encouraged the transcendental competition in the book distribution. So at that time, there was a very strong rivalry between the two main book distribution forces, Los Angeles and the Radha Damodar Temple. And I remember during that time, Jaitirtha Prabhu, who I think was the temple president here, he visited Juhu. And so Prabhupada brought up about this competition. And he said, you know, if you defeat Tamal Krishna Goswami, he'll have a heart attack. So it was pretty strong, but the whole idea is to distribute more books and please Guru and Gauranga more. And then I can't. Anyway, then. So we'll come towards the end. Srila Prabhupada, well, of course, established the annual general meetings for the GBC body. And because of various factors, health and other service, Tamal Krishna Goswami didn't go for many years. But this one year he came, and it was quite a big thing, and there was a lot of a sort of clearing away of perhaps ill feelings that might have developed over the years. You know, he apologized to many of his god brothers in case he had hurt them or offended them, and they also did the same with him. And he began to have kirtan in his quarters. He had quite a had like two rooms together. It was quite spacious. And all the like big kirtan leaders, Dan Shivaram Swami, Govinda Swami, Naranjan Swami, they would come and lead kirtan for 3 hours. And it was such an occasion that everyone was just looking forward to those kirtans. And eventually, the room wasn't big enough. I say room, I mean it was a big area. And then at the end they were having the kirtans in the temple. And then at the end of the meetings, he was ready to leave Mayapur. Actually, he didn't want to leave Mayapur. He wasn't in the mood to leave Mayapur. But at the time, he was a doctoral candidate at the University of Cambridge in England. And it was time for him to return. But he wasn't looking forward to returning to the university. He was happy to be with his god brothers and the other devotees in Mayapur. But he was also very dutiful. All along, he was very dutiful. And so early on the morning of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj's disappearance day, he got in a hired car, to drive to Calcutta and get his flight to London. And while within the greater Navadvip area, Gaudiya Mandala Bhumi, at a place called Fulia, which was where Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur had many of his pastimes. Something happened. There was some sort of road accident, and the end of the vehicle crashed into a tree, and somehow within that time frame Tamal Krishna Goswami left his body. And but the local residents, they understood that a saintly person had left, so they gathered around and the vehicle, and then, you know, the body was brought to Mayapur, and the whole theme of the festival was just beginning. That was the system. After the meetings end, then festival begins. So it was just remembrance and glorification of Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. And it brought the whole society together, which was unique. I think now the movement has developed, and there are many events. It is still after he left to bring the devotees together, bring the leaders together, bring all sorts of devotees together. But at that time, for the whole society to be united with one single focus was practically unheard of since Prabhupada left. And that too to glorify the Vaishnava, a very dear and empowered servant of Srila Prabhupada's. So right now in Mayapur, on this very day, in honor or in memory of Tamal Krishna Goswami, they're having a kirtan mela. And he really, he was a leader. I mean, he was ahead of his time in many ways. It's also controversial. But yes, that having many hours of kirtan with all leaders and followers coming together, that really began in his last year with us in Mayapur. And now today is further marked by the departure of Her Grace Manjari Devi Dasi, Tamal Krishna Goswami's beloved disciple, wife of late Vidura Prabhu, who are very staunch members of the community here for many years. I really got to know them better after Tamal Krishna Goswami left. I felt a sort of impetus to meet his disciples and spend time with them. So I visited Vidura and Manjari, and they were exemplary. Just exemplary. They basically had no other interest in life besides Krishna consciousness. And they were such a nice couple. Very dedicated to their spiritual practices and to their devotional service here in the temple, especially. He was engaged in deity worship. And as we spent time, and I made it a sort of a policy that whenever I visit New Dwarka, I would spend time with them. And so they were telling about their interactions with Tamal Krishna Goswami. They were in Houston originally after leaving India, and they were initiated by him in, I think, 1983. So 83, 93, 03, 31 years ago. So when I visited them, she told the story how Tamal Krishna Goswami didn't spend much time in New Dwarka, but he would often stop at LAX on the way to Hong Kong and other places in his zone in the Far East. And so generally they would... he would inform his disciples and they would maybe have a couple of hours with him at the airport and they would bring prasad for him. So this one time, Tamal Krishna Goswami was stopping over for 4 hours and Vidura had deity service and he was like so regular in his deity service. So he wrote a little letter to Tamal Krishna Goswami explaining why he couldn't come to the airport. And Manjari Dasi, she
was in the group that went to the airport, and she delivered the letter.
So when Tamal Krishna Goswami read the letter, he said, "This is very good that he is so, you know, strict about his service, that he will not leave his service for anything." And he like blessed him that, you know, for this dedicated service. As I remembered, it was something like that, that this dedicated service, you know, Krishna will take you back home. And Mother Manjari, she said, like, this was the best time she ever had with Shiva Gurudev. Because whenever her husband was there, he would always speak with her husband. And as that, you know, chaste, proper Vedic wife, she would just sit quietly beside him. But this time, she was the center of attention. And she got to have that personal reciprocation with her Guru Maharaj that she didn't usually have. And she cherished it. So they had that sense of hospitality. It was so strong. They were insisting that I eat. And, you know, I was on a, and still am on a very strict diet. But they just insisted, and their devotion, the force of their devotion was so strong, I couldn't say no. And, you know, she had this, like, chevda, her, like, homemade chevda, so that was there. And they even had something I hadn't had for 30 years. And I can tell you, frankly, I didn't miss it. They're called, I mean, you'd have to have spent time in India to know this, but Parley glucose biscuits. When we would meet people, you know, depending on their culture and depending on, you know, how much they wanted to honor us and please us, you know, they might call for rasgullas or, you know, pera, chevda, you know. And Parle glucose biscuits, where they were sort of at the bottom. I mean, if they didn't want to, like, insult us completely, but they didn't particularly want to go out of their way to give us anything particularly special, it would be, you know, Parle glucose biscuits. But with them, it was their offering of those biscuits was filled with devotion. It was like in a totally different category. And I said, "Where did you get these? I didn't even know you could get these in America." "Oh, there's an Indian shop. You can get everything there." And And just today, when I before coming here to the temple room, I visited. They had, you know, she left at 4:40 in the morning. As soon as I got the news, I thought, you know, Tamal Krishna Goswami has come to take her. Because he also left around the same time. It's just so, you know, too much of a coincidence. Just the same time, the same date, Titi, on the calendar. And he's come to reclaim her. So after she left her body, as is the proper custom and procedure, the devotees, cleaned her. She's on the floor. She's put on the floor. Cleaned her and put her in clean dress. Her departure was very peaceful. She had no pain. She had no pain. After her husband left, she went to stay with her son and daughter-in-law, Krishna Prem and Gopika. They're also very nice devotees, initiated disciples of His Holiness Lokanath Swami. And then maybe a month or 6 weeks ago, she had a stroke, very bad stroke, and was taken to the emergency room. And, but everyone agreed they shouldn't do any invasive procedures. And she didn't want to go anywhere except New Dwarka. She knew that now the end is coming, and she wanted to return to New Dwarka and spend her last days here. And she came just on Nityananda Trayodasi Day from the hospital. And, so devotees were always keeping her company, chanting the holy names, talking about Krishna, talking about her service to Krishna. And, up till about 12:30 last night, devotees were with her, and there didn't seem to be any physiological change. She was breathing normally and sort of resting peacefully. And then this morning also, initially, her breathing was as usual. But then about 3:30, she entered that last phase, and, the breathing became slow and intermittent, and devotees started to come and chant. And they had Srila Prabhupada's tape going, Prabhupada chanting. And then she left at 4:40. And her son felt this was very much in character with her nature, that she didn't want to inconvenience anyone by leaving at an odd hour. So 4:40, their devotees are away. They're coming to the temple for Mangalarti. Before then. And she, I learned this only this morning, that she, every day, she chanted 64 rounds. 16 for her Gurudev, 16 for her younger grandson, Neil Kamal, who she was very fond of, and 32 as her own sadhana. And this last 2 years after her husband left, when she was staying with her son, Krishna Prema, she was very much engaged in service, of course, chanting her 64 rounds, but also, worshiping the deity and doing other service. And that was like a gift to him and his family to have her with them and to be able to serve together with her. So she will be, the devotees will be bringing her outside the doors here at 9:15. It's it's a tradition that the remains of the Vaishnava are taken to the temples, not brought inside, but from outside the doors. They have darshan of the deities have darshan of them, and then she'll be taken for cremation. So, as Srila Prabhupada often said, there's nothing to be lamented. Even ordinary people don't die. The soul continues. But in the case of Vaishnavas, not only does the soul continue to live, but their service continues. When we were with Srila Prabhupada in Surat on his Guru Maharaj's disappearance day, he spoke and he said that on the spiritual plane, on the absolute platform, there's no difference between appearance and disappearance. Just like the sun rise and the sun set, both are beautiful. But he also said that when a Vaishnava leaves, we have mixed feelings of both happiness and sorrow. We're happy because we know the Vaishnava has gone to Krishna. And I'm quite confident she's gone to her Gurudev and Krishna. But also some sadness because we will miss the devotees' association. So yes, we'll be able to offer our respects to her when she comes out at 9:15. And this is all Srila Prabhupada's mercy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. So many souls are having glorious, auspicious departures. We saw with Ram Prasad Prabhu how Krishna made so many amazing arrangements. I mean, this, you can really understand both how dear the devotees are to Krishna and how merciful Krishna is to the devotees. You know, from the external point of view, a devotee, as was the case with Ram Prasad Prabhu, you know, may have some peculiarities in the course of his life, or we might say some bad luck. But none of that really counts. What really was clear was how Krishna made so many wonderful arrangements for Ram Prasad Prabhu. I mean, there are many, but one in particular struck me. Ram Prasad Prabhu was one of the early devotees who first went to San Jose. And he was like the temple president. And he had a small deity, beautiful deity of Lord Nrisimhadev. But then, you know, the spiritual leader of the project left and new management came in. And I guess they didn't want Ram Prasad to continue as the president, which is fine, it's natural. And while leaving, he felt, I guess he must have felt within his heart that his Nrisimhadev deity wanted to stay. So he left his deity on the altar. And then it's, you know, it didn't seem to like fit quite right with the altar. There's a lot of special things about the worship of Lord Nrisimhadev. And one lady from the congregation, somehow she wanted the deity. So she asked if she could have the deity. And for the last 20 or however many years, she's been worshiping that deity very strictly at home. And then she read on Facebook that Ram Prasad had terminal cancer and was going to be leaving. So she bought a ticket and flew down from San Jose with the deity. And she returned the deity to Ram Prasad Prabhu for his last days. So there are many, many instances of how Krishna made different arrangements for Ram Prasad Prabhu, or how Krishna within the heart inspired people, inspired devotees to assist him and encourage him in different ways. So this is not, it is extraordinary, because to be a devotee is extraordinary. But once you are a devotee, devotee never feels he's a devotee, but, Krishna takes special care. And I'm thinking now, maybe these will be my concluding words. I'm thinking of another devotee from New Dwarka named Ram Das Prabhu, who's the head pujari here. And he also had a terminal case, and he went to India, to Vrindavan, to spend his last years or months or days. And he had a house not so far from the Krishna Balaram temple. And he reached a very exalted state of consciousness, And different deities were coming to him, different relics from sacred places, ancient temples in Vrindavan. But what I want to say, what I want to tell you is what happened when he left. The night when he left, he appeared simultaneously to many devotees, including his wife, who's also a very special devotee. And basically what he told her or them was that you cannot believe how good it is. Now, I cannot describe to you, I cannot even begin to describe to you how good it is on the other side. And whatever difficulties you face along the way are so insignificant compared with what you get at the end. So his final message was to continue in Krishna consciousness and not be distracted or diverted or deterred by the inevitable difficulties that one has in the material world and may have even in the association of devotees, because it's just so good. It's just so good. And whatever you have to do to get there is just inconsequential. So just keep going. That's the final message. And so we should always... Well, everything Prabhupada gave us. But, of course, especially chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading the scriptures, Srila Prabhupada's books, or any book about Krishna and his devotees coming in parampara, and serving the devotees, helping them in their last days is a great service. And the blessings that one gets from serving the devotees is immense. In fact, Lord Chaitanya often gave this particular instruction: always chant the holy names and serve the devotees. It's a fundamental instruction. And we're so fortunate to have that opportunity by Srila Prabhupada's grace and grace of our parampara and Gaur Nikaya. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments? Anything anyone would like to share? All right, so we'll end now. Of course, tomorrow's also some... Well, there's today's program, memorial program for Ram Prasad Prabhu. Tomorrow's Sunday program, honoring Shivaratri in the evening for the public. But yeah, it's... When I went to India, I heard a saying, Surat Bhojan Kashi Maran, that if you want to eat, go to Surat. Huh? Oh, Jaman? What does that mean? Oh, okay. Anyway, I probably heard a corrupted version, or maybe my mind... forgot the exact wording, but all right. Surat Jaman. Kashi Umaran. Nu. Oh, Kashi Nu Maran. And if you want to die, go to Kashi. That's Varanasi. And I'm not sure if it's Kashi in general or there's a specific ghat, burning ghat, Manikarnika burning ghat in Kashi. It said that if you leave, if you leave your body there, Lord Shiva will come and chant the holy name of Ram or Krishna in your ear. So we'll be speaking about Lord Shiva tomorrow afternoon. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj ki jai. Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Srimati Manjari Devi Dasi ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.